Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
One time, got a new refrigerator. And I'd had the old refrigerator a long time. You know, and finally it just kind of broke down, I think 20-some years or something like that. I've got a long time. And now this refrigerator, you have to understand, you get very used to. You could almost look at it and the door would close, you know. You know, you don't really have to push it. You barely touch it, and the door would swing closed on both the freezer and, you know, the refrigerator, and it would shut. You know, you'd have to pay attention to it. You just kind of went like that, it closed. The new one was not that way. You had to make sure it was there, and you had to make sure it was closed, because it would get close and stop and not quite catch. I learned that the hard way. Because, you know, I'm used to using the old habit of just doing what I always do, assuming, you know, that's good enough. And a couple times there was spoiled food, and there was some spoiled stuff in the freezer, and there was some water on the floor with the ice and nothing. And I, you know, caught some flack for that, as you might imagine. And so, what I had to do was I had to go and start making sure that the door was closed. Not just sort of there, not just sort of pulled to, but was actually closed all the way. Too often I heard about the door being ajar more times than I wanted to. But I want you to think of that image, because I want to play with that image in talking about our gospel lesson and really all of our lessons for today. For you see, I think this message of today, especially that gospel, is jarring. A jar, and that's where the word comes from. Something that's not quite in a place is a jar. And those lessons don't seem to be quite in place to us either, do they? They're unnerving. They're unsettling. They rattle our brains. They feel like the door hasn't been shut on the freezer. Well, they have. And it's that way on purpose. Just as we get into habits of doing things and think of ourselves more highly than we should, I mean, we are moving into the season of spin doctors and what's the other thing they always talk about? Consultants. Anyway, all you end up, and talking heads, I'm sorry. All you end up with is spinning heads, you know, where people try to convince you that they're things that they're not. We're good at that, all of us. Let's be honest. We promote ourselves. We pick out parts of the law, for example, that we like, and we think those are more important than the parts we have trouble with, and we tend to look down our noses upon those who aren't as good at them as we are. Well, if you read this lesson, if you read that gospel lesson all the way through, it don't work that way, does it? If anybody here thinks they can cover everything in that lesson, please come see me. You need counseling, bad. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, as Paul puts it very succinctly in his letter, one of his letters, I think, to Timothy. I mean, this lesson takes all the pride out of us, all the self-righteousness away from us, all the sense of being better than others, because there's somewhere in that gospel lesson that everybody in this room has failed on. I'll be honest with you. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I probably failed on a bunch of them, you know, probably more than you want to know about. But that's part of the lesson. It's a reminder to us that we don't look down upon others. That we actually, if we take seriously the days and events of our lives, look at each other. Because we are equal. Equal and standing before God in need of mercy and grace and not able to stand on our own righteousness. Not even our spin doctoring best version of ourselves. It doesn't work that way. And we can get, like I did with the refrigerator door, kind of complacent and not make sure it's shut. And it looks okay at first, but after a while, bad things happen. So Jesus, I think, is trying to pound into us, by exaggeration if necessary, that we are not as good as we think of ourselves. That we need to always go back and refocus as we do at worship to the baptismal font, to our neediness, to God's grace and mercy. And if we do, we might find ourselves tending a little bit more to the events of our lives. Because the things we do, the things we say, the things we think that are all covered in that gospel lesson matter. They matter. They affect the way we see each other, the way we act, the way we are to one another. And when we do get complacent and leave the door ajar, it makes the world a little more ajar. Because we're not reflecting Christ's love through ourselves. So this lesson's, they're harsh. But they're harsh on everyone, you know. There's nobody who escapes this. There's no one who lives up to the law. There is no one who is righteous of themselves. Let's just wipe that off and say we need to go back and reattend to the affairs of our own lives, to our thoughts, to our actions, to who we are. Not in a guilt way, because guilt only works if some people are guilty and some people are innocent. Ain't nobody not making it through this one, you know? But rather it's an attempt to make us look as we truly are. People in need of each other and of God and trying hard despite our faults. Just like now, I guarantee you, I check that door and make sure that door is closed on that refrigerator. You know? I learned that and it's been ingrained into me. Even when this refrigerator is gone and the next one probably has that door that opens and closes almost by itself, I'll still do that. Well, I think what Jesus is trying to do at part with this lesson is just to get us to pay attention. To pay attention to ourselves. To pay attention to the way we are with each other, our thoughts, our actions, who we are. Because they matter. They matter to Jesus. They matter to God. Because it's in these daily interactions that we live out, reflect, or fail to do so, the love of God. And we know we're all going to fall. And it's not meant to put anybody down. Is to raise that awareness so that we start paying attention a little bit more to our thoughts and our feelings and our deeds with one another. That's part of that keeping ajar, keeping things not so jarring in people's lives. You know? Let's laugh at ourselves. There's pretty good humor in there. You know, plucking out an eye and cutting out an arm. No, Jesus did not tell us literally to do that. It's pretty obvious. But he did want us to look at ourselves and to laugh at ourselves and the kind of that overwhelmingness, maybe it does when we hear these lessons, to make us not take ourselves so lightly, to recognize who we are. You know, Luther's last known written words were, "We are most certainly all beggars." That's who we are. We're beggars. We're people in need. We need each other. We need God. We need to be forgiven and to receive grace. But there's also another part of this image of a jar. I'm going to shift the metaphor 180 degrees on you. It's going to be jarring. There's also the sense that when our lives are a little ajar, when we're startled, when things don't quite match up and fit together, are also opportunities for God to speak new words to us, to lead us in new directions. These times when we recognize, as this lesson tries to do, that we're not all that we should be, are also opportunities for us to ask, what can we become? What could God be doing with us rather than relying on our own abilities, our own talents, our own skills? Is to ask, what could God be doing with us? That's kind of jarring too. When the living God of grace and mercy gets a hold of us, we are not the same. We are open to acts of kindness and mercy that we hadn't thought of. We sometimes find our feet leading us down paths that we didn't choose to go to. I ran across a story, and I don't think I have this point ever in my life of mercy, but it hit me. I was reading a story, it was in a newspaper. This father had to go to court because his son had been run over by a hit-and-run driver, 16-year-old, not paying attention, and killed him. His 10-year-old son. And of course, they asked the parents to speak at the sentencing. The father got up and said, "Your Honor, we'd like for you to send that boy home with us." And the judge said, "What?" Startled. And he said, "If we don't have this child have a chance," because this kid came from a very broken family with no real good examples of anything. Part of the reason he was running around driving the way he was. He said, "If we don't do that, then we have failed our son. Because what we tried to teach our son was about mercy and grace, and the goodness of God. How can we not live that out?" And they actually took the boy in and put him on probation. The judge put him on the family's probation for 4 years till he got old enough and released him. Now that's mercy. That's grace. That's a jar. But it's the kind of a jar where God takes those gaps in our lives and fills them with opportunities for grace and mercy. So, like me with a refrigerator door, maybe we ought to pay a little more attention. We ought to make sure things are not left open that shouldn't be. But maybe also we ought to recognize those moments that are jarring in our lives and wonder what God is calling us to be His merciful. Amen.
Amen.